Look at that. Just a natural silence. I never get that when I lead, but I really appreciate you right now. If you have a Bible behind you, please grab it and turn to Luke chapter 11 on page 984. Luke 11, 984. Everyone got it? Sally's going to come and read the first 13 verses to us in a minute. But first of all, has anyone, stick your hand up if you've either read Oliver Twist or you've seen Oliver the musical or the movie. Okay, it's a bit of a British institution. Okay, great, thank you. So you have a character called Oliver and he's in a workhouse and him and his work colleagues, even though they're all boys, are given tiny portions of food. And they're really hungry. And then one evening, they decide to draw lots to work out who's going to go and ask for more food. Oliver draws the shortest straw, and off he goes. And this is an iconic kind of picture from the movie where he goes up and he says, "Please, sir, I want more." And the request shocks the adults because they've been designed to give them the bare minimum. And in the film, there's then like a whole chase that happens. He gets caught and is punished for his audacity in asking for more. We are continuing in a series on the Lord's Prayer. And we're looking today at the part that sits in the middle that Jesus instructs his followers to say and to pray, and it's to ask. It's to ask God for something, to ask for our daily bread. So Sally's going to come and read Luke 11, verses 1 to 13.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Oh, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Thanks, Sally. Okay, so keep your Bibles open at that place. And let me just say two things before I move on. So the first thing is this. in any talk on prayer, I'm really, really conscious of my lack of time and my inability to actually cover some of the big questions that we have relating to prayer. We recognize from the outset that it is a complete and utter mystery. So if you think by the end of this, all your questions and all your concerns and all the kind of what ifs and how comes are going to be answered, they're not, okay? So that's point number one. The second thing to say is, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, notice that it's not a prayer just for us to pray about our lives. Look at the language that is used in verse 3, give us. Verse 4, forgive us, lead us, we forgive. There's a corporate element that is involved in our asking that isn't just about me, myself, and I. It expands beyond our concerns for myself and the people that I love to our communities, to the nation, to the world. Okay, so they're the two caveats. I hope you still want to listen. If you don't, come and get some bread, I guess. Okay, so verse 3, Jesus instructs his followers to say, give us each day our daily bread. Now, there's a literal element to that, right? I think Jesus is actually saying, pray for your bread, pray for your food, pray for what you need. But the Greek word there that's used for daily actually suggests something a little bit more than bread. It suggests everything that is necessary for our existence. So it becomes a request not just for the physical stuff, our food that's going to satisfy our stomachs, but actually a request for emotional stuff, spiritual stuff, just God's provision in general. So whatever is necessary for existence. And there's a recognition right from the outset in the middle of Jesus' teaching that people cannot sustain themselves. But all we need comes from who? Our Father in heaven. So there's a daily dependence from Jesus' followers to God the Father. Daily dependence. Now the question is for us, is that our reality? Is daily dependence our reality? See, I think so often one of the greatest threats to that kind of line of give us each day our daily bread is actually our self-sufficiency. Because when my belly is full, when I'm blessed to have money to cover my bills, when life is a bit comfortable, prayer can so easily feel like an optional thing. We shift from praying, God, give me, give us each day our daily bread, to Father, thanks for what I've mostly provided for myself. It can so easily be about what I've done and what I've brought to the table that actually I don't really need God for this one. I've got this one covered. But actually, if we've got that mentality, we're forgetting what he says in Acts, that everything, every breath, every meal, every opportunity, every ability, every gift comes from God. And so actually asking is a prayer of dependent and not self-sufficient people. And it's a reminder for the people who were listening at the time and for us too of Exodus and the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. So in Exodus 16, it talks about the people were hungry and they were calling out to God for God to supply their needs. And he provided manna from heaven. Manna, we think, is a kind of wafery type thing, but actually manna itself means, what is this? You can imagine people like, what is this? And actually, the Israelites were instructed to go and collect what they needed every day for that day. They weren't to store it up. They weren't to go and get their month's provision because it will go moldy. Just what they needed day in and day out. They took what they needed. Any more, it would spoil. Now, this is the thing. As God provided for the Israelites day after day, he could have easily have given them a year's supply of manna, right? Like that, he could have supplied it all. He could have given them a monthly shop or a weekly shop. But what he does is he places a limitation on the manna that he provides for the Israelites. He gave enough for one day. And God, by giving them enough for one day, gave them a reason for them to come back the next day. So ask today and again tomorrow. For the Israelites, they were practicing their dependency one day at a time. And when Jesus is asking us to pray and teaching us to pray, he doesn't say, pray for your lifetime security. He doesn't say pray for your retirement when you're just in your early 20s. He says pray for your daily bread, one day at a time. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that can be quite challenging because you might be like me and prefer a little bit of predictability or a little bit of a guarantee or security rather than this day-by-day living. But actually, Jesus' words here, they confront his followers' desire for control and for certainty and for independence. And what Jesus is saying to his followers is he's wanting a spiritual rhythm almost of coming back to him, returning to him again and again and again, because that's the foundation of following Jesus. And then Jesus goes on in verses 5-8 to illustrate his point with a parable. So a man, he gets a guest at midnight. I don't know if you've ever had anyone turn up to your house at midnight, but it is not the one. And you infer that the guest is hungry when he arrives, right? Because then the person hasn't got any bread to give him. So he's got no Londis or no Tesco's local to run to go and get a loaf. But instead he goes and knocks up a friend. Don't know if you've ever knocked up a friend at midnight. I mean, that's a good friend if you're going to knock him up at midnight. And he goes to his friend and he asks for bread. And the thing is, our need actually drives prayer, so often drives prayer. And then look what happens in verse 8. It says, because of the man's shameless audacity, he gets what he's asked for. Because of his shameless audacity in going at midnight, in knocking up the house when everyone's asleep and asking for what he needs. Now, if anyone needs a lesson in what shameless audacity is, I suggest that you hang around with my son maybe for a day. So when you're with him and you're on holiday, let me tell you, that boy is going to ask for a daily ice cream, and it's probably going to be his first words when he wakes up in the morning before he's even tucked into his breakfast. If he hasn't got into it then, whilst he's eating his breakfast, he'll say, Mum, can I have an ice cream today? When he gets his ice cream that day, he'll say, Mum, can I have an ice cream tomorrow? He doesn't care. He's going to ask you. And he's going to ask, and he might be told no, and sometimes he might be told yes. But this is the thing, we're probably guilty because as parents, we often say to Nate, chance your arm. So that basically means try your luck. So often he'll say to us, Mum, do you think if I go and ask that person for what they're giving out and ask for double the amount, they'll give it to us? Go and ask, son. I mean, what can they do? They can only say no. So that kind of chance in your arm is a characteristic in the Bolland's household. This is the thing. There's a shameless audacity about this man who goes to his friend and asks for bread. He gets up, as a result, the friend, he gets up and he gives what is needed. Look at verse 8. Because Luke is describing someone like Nate who is persistent and utterly convinced that the one he's asking can help him. The one he's asking can provide what he needs. And so for us, I wonder, do we have that same shameless audacity when we're praying? That kind of, I'm going to ask big prayers. I'm going to ask prayers that, man, if they're answered, I will know that that is an answer only from God because no one else or nothing else could have answered it. Or I wonder if we think, actually, it's a little bit childish to approach God with those kind of big prayers, to approach God with that kind of shameless audacity. Or maybe we've grown up and we've been taught, you just don't ask. Don't ask. You're lucky to get what you're given. Actually, Jesus is challenging people, shamelessly ask. Be audacious in your praying to the Father in heaven. Maybe for some of us, we've been so disappointed the times that we've prayed just what we would consider to be ordinary, bog-standard prayers that we think, I'm not gonna pray something that's audacious. God is able, it says in his word, to do exceedingly and abundantly and far above anything we could ask or imagine according to his riches in glory. I wonder what it would look like to just make our prayers a little bit bigger. And Jesus, in that parable, he contrasts the neighbour with God. Look at verse 7. The neighbour who's been knocked up for bread at midnight is annoyed. He's in bed. he's reluctant. I mean, you can't blame him, to be honest, can you? Midnight and someone wants a loaf. The thing is, God isn't those things. God's not annoyed. God's not sleeping. God isn't reluctant. It says in verse 11 that if you want a fish, God ain't going to give you a snake. If you want an egg, I don't know why on earth you'd want an egg, but if that's your thing, if you want an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. Why not? Because he is the perfect heavenly father. Verse 13. He's a father that can be trusted and not a genie that grants your wishes. They are two completely different things. See, there's a danger that we think that prayer and asking God for our daily bread is like asking a genie who grants us free wishes and is going to be given to us. God is not a genie. He's a perfect heavenly father who gives his children what he sees fit. There's also the fact that God is a loving heavenly father and not a harsh master like the one in Oliver Twist, who when we go and we ask for something is going to beat us with a stick. How dare you ask for more? How dare you ask? Actually, the picture that Jesus is painting here in Luke is of a little kid climbing up onto the lap of their heavenly father, asking and trusting that God will work for our good and he will work for his glory. And the thing is, and this is something I think I don't like, and I think so often we don't like, he decides when he gives something, and he decides when he withholds something. And he decides when he's going to change us, and he decides when he's going to change our circumstances, because he knows even better than any parent knows what their child needs. There's a guy who wrote a book that I thoroughly recommend. I thought I had one, but I haven't got one down. A guy called Tyler Stanton, who wrote a book called Living Like Monks, Praying Like Fools. And he talks about when we come and when we pray, that when we ask for anything, there's a vulnerability that happens when we ask. Now think about that. When you ask someone for anything, or when we ask God for something, there's a risk of vulnerability, because we're risking being disappointed. But we can't build trust with God or with other people if we don't ask. Trust is built in the asking. So let me ask us this. Do we ask? And do we trust? Or do we live in fear of disappointment and therefore don't even bother opening our mouths to ask? See, when you make a wish, like this isn't in real life, right? Genies aren't real, just in case you wondered. But when you make a wish, that isn't a relational thing. It's a transactional request. You make a wish and the genie grants the wish. There's nothing relational involved in it. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, God wants our attention every single day. Every single day. And so there's something in Jesus saying to his followers, ask each day for your daily bread, that is deeply relational. It's not transactional. Because it's about the person we're asking from and not the provision that they can give to us. Like, you imagine a friend, maybe some people have got friends like this, and let's not dwell too much on it. But you know that kind of person, hopefully you haven't got, but that kind of person who comes up and they just want you when they want something. And you imagine if you had a friend who just, whenever they saw you, they're asking for something, asking for something, asking for something. Let me tell you this, that relationship wouldn't last probably very long. And it probably wouldn't be particularly deep. But daily dependence with God keeps us relationally close. It cultivates friendship with God. And so I wonder, when we pray, and this is the thing, you can ask yourself honestly, like in the quiet of your own heart and your own mind, when we pray daily, is it because, like Paul in Philippians 3, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection in my life. Or is it because I want him to give me enough bread so my life is comfortable and that I don't need him again? Jesus in verse 9 encourages his disciples to pray confidently and persistently. That verb, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. Because when we do that, we admit, I cannot do this on my own. I can't do life by myself. I can't provide for myself and my own needs, truly at a deep level. We surrender our self-sufficiency when we pray that. And we surrender our illusion of control. But the thing is, as we pray that, that is a prayer actually of humility. And it's a prayer that requires effort, and it's a prayer that requires trust. And that, I would say, is one of the reasons why proud people really struggle to pray. Because it requires a humility that we're not particularly used to. And so when I'm asking for what's necessary for existence, what does that actually mean? Well, the thing is, what you need for existence is probably going to be slightly different to me. And it's going to be slightly different to the person down the road. So I tell you what I think isn't helpful. I don't think it's helpful that I stand here and say, do not pray for this. You shouldn't pray for that. You should pray for this. Pete Grigg, or Greg, however you pronounce his surname, who's the founder of the 24/7 movement, says this: ask for everything from peace in the Middle East to parking spaces. Now, I know for some people you're going to be like, parking spaces, you shouldn't be praying for that. You should be praying for peace in the Middle East. But if God is our Father and he's asking what is necessary, we ask for what's necessary for our daily existence, we know what those requests are. And so bring the big requests, bring the small requests, bring the urgent requests, bring the daily requests, bring everything to God. Because it says in the Lord's Prayer, we hallow God's name, we praise God's name. Verse 2, we pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 4, we ask for forgiveness. But the thing is, we miss something if we don't bring our small daily needs before the Father. Because I would argue they grow faith and they grow gratitude. The past month, this is what answered prayer has looked like for me in my life. And to be honest, I don't really care about your judgment about it. I've prayed for safe travel and my travel has been safe. Because I don't take safe travel for granted. I've prayed that my son would be regulated whilst he's on residential and thrive. And he did. I've prayed for strength for my dad's body when he's been sick. I've prayed for my friends to receive free, good legal representation. I've prayed for supernatural patience for myself, and I've prayed that my heart will not give way to fear. And let me tell you, that is all answered prayer, and I know it's only because of my Father in heaven. Keep asking because he hears. Keep seeking because he can be found. Keep knocking, verse 10, because there is a Father on the other side of the door who's ready to open it. And so Jesus concludes, if you look at verse 13. You kind of get to the end of the passage and you think he's going to conclude with something like this: how much more will your Father give you what you've asked for? And yet Jesus doesn't. What does he say? Verse 13, he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That right there is the climax of Jesus' teaching on prayer in Luke 11. See, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, gives us what we need for existence. But what does he give us that is necessary for existence? He gives us himself. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, in John 6, Jesus talks that he himself is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He's not just the one who is the provider. He himself is the provision. And so there's something in here in Luke 11 that we don't just seek the gift, we seek the giver too. Because the giver is the one who provides us exactly what is necessary for our existence. He's the one who satisfies our spiritual hunger. He's the one who satisfies our hearts, because Jesus meets our greatest need, and that is forgiveness. And Jesus in himself is the one who gives us the fullness of life. It's Jesus, it's him, not what he provides for us. And so when we ask God for our daily bread, when we go to him each and every day with our requests for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our community, our nation, our world, when we're asking, God, please, in your grace and in your kindness, give us. Not only are we asking him to meet a need, we're asking him to do something deeper, and that's, God, please give us you. Give us yourself. Because that's what we truly need for existence. Now, I was thinking as I was preparing this talk that we probably are all in really different places when it comes to our prayer lives. And there's some of us who just feel like we can get up and we're going to storm the castle and we are going to pray those big prayers in faith. And there's some of us who just find it so difficult to pray by ourselves. Encourage you, pray with other people. And there'll be some of us who are just like, man, oh man, I am struggling to keep my head above the water. And I'm so far away from praying audacious prayers. And this is the thing, our Father, he knows, right? He knows what we, his children, need. And so, like, I would encourage you, if prayer is difficult because of the season of life that you're in, just even praying Jesus' words make a difference to our hearts and to our lives. And we can pray them in faith even if we don't understand how it all works. But this is the thing, when we pray, give us each day our daily bread. Yes, we're praying for things and we're praying for circumstances. We're praying for what we need emotionally, what our friends need psychologically. But let's not forget, we are ultimately praying, Father, give us more of you, the bread of life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you know us, your children. I pray this morning that you would show me, you would show us where we are too self-sufficient, where we lack trust, where we're disappointed with you, where we've simply reduced the Lord's Prayer to give me what I need so that I can have an easy life. I pray that you would make me and you would make my brothers and sisters in Christ dependent upon you. I pray that you would help us to trust you. I pray that you'd help us to keep asking audaciously and seeking persistently and knocking shamelessly. And God, I pray, yes, Spirit of the living God, in our day-to-day prayers, whether we're on the move, whether we're praying as part of a prayer meeting, whether it's our quiet time in the morning or in the evening, I pray in the name of Jesus, Spirit, that you would remind us that Jesus is the one who truly satisfies our soul, that he is the bread of life. And so, Jesus, I pray for us here this morning, give us today more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.